Let me invite you tonight over to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 reads this way. It says, "Whereby, when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, calling upon you again for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to worship you in truth and spirit, and that you might be honored and glorified, and our lives blessed and drawn closer to you, strengthened in the faith that you've given to us, to be the witnesses of your great grace. Again, bless your word tonight and your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply Partakers of His Promise. Partakers of His Promise. God wants us to participate and partake of the promises that He's given to us to enjoy. So He's telling this again to believers. They're already saved, but He's wanting them to experience something more than eternal life. Now again, that's where it all begins, and we're not making light of that. That's where our destination is eternally changed, and we thank the Lord for that. But He says, now I want you to be witnesses of my grace in your life, beginning with the family. And by the way, the world today is trying to destroy the family because that is God's first institution. And so God wants to build the family, and in doing that, He will build the church. If the church is faithful but the family is weak, the church will be weak as well. But if the members of the church have strong families in the grace of God, the church will be strong as well. So it's so important, really, that we understand that God wants to strengthen your life in particular because you will have the influence on your family. And what I mean by strengthen that we would experience His grace in our lives. And we're going to see that here in the Word of God. So believers are the part or the partakers of the promises of God that give a testimony to the world that glorifies God. That's what God wants to do in our lives. So I want to look at three thoughts tonight. I want to look at for this cause, and then I want to take a few moments and consider the effectual working of His power. And then lastly, I want to look at strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And these are important truths. Again, we gave the illustration today of a car that has been gifted to you, right? And we made the illustration of, really appreciate the car, but on the way to church, we decided to get outside and push the car and push it into the parking lot. However many miles you drive, that's how many miles you're going to push it to church. Wouldn't that be fun? Amen? Now, Miss Mary would get away. I think she lives pretty close, but it still would be a chore to push it to church, right? And if the person that gifted you the car would see that, they would first suspect, what is the problem with the car? Is there a problem with the car? Oh, no, there's no problem with the car. Well, please, pray tell, why are you pushing it? Well, I thought this would be a good idea after all. I didn't want to wear out the car. Amen? We don't want to use the blinkers because we might wear them out. We don't want to use the windshield wipers because we'll wear it. Wait a minute. That's what they're for, right? So God has provided precious promises to every believer and that He wants them to partake in. And the wonderful truth is you will never wear out the promises of God. They are fresh and new every day. And so what happens is when we evaluate our life, if we are having a hard time walking in the promises of God, we're probably on the outside pushing the car instead of in the driver's seat enjoying the ride and the comfort that God wants to give us in our relationship with Him. So keep that thought in mind as we move forward here in our text. Look at verse 1 with me. Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Now, a couple of words there, dispensation. These are different times or periods in the Bible. And believe it or not, some people think there are no dispensations in the Bible. Well, you just are seeing right here the word dispensation is in the Bible because in the Old Testament, now don't misunderstand this, they looked forward by faith of the promised Messiah that would come, but they were given the law that they were to keep, but never by the flesh. So what happened was when they were doing it by the flesh, and by the way, it was a different economy because the Holy Spirit moved on believers, but did not indwell them permanently as he does now. So we have been given more in this dispensation than ever before. Would that be fair to say? We have been given now the permanent indwelling of the Spirit. We are now, remember they had the temple of God, we're the presence of God. Where is the temple of God today? In you and in me, the believer. Because now we are indwelt, we house, God has seen fit, we don't house, but God has put the Holy Spirit in us, and so he dwells within us. Isn't that amazing? And there's a reason. God didn't just say, well, you know what? Let's see, I've got nothing else better to do today, so I think I'm going to come up with this idea now that when people get saved, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit indwell them. That's not the way the Lord works. Everything God does is on purpose and with a purpose. And that is that we might experience his grace in a greater way to be a better witness. Listen, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, remember the Old Testament economy and all these things? But now I'm going to show you a better way that's been given to you, right? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all these things that we might enjoy the presence of the Lord all the time. That's amazing. And so with that said, Paul is saying, for this cause, and that was not, by the way, listen, these Ephesian believers are not Jews. And he's wanting them to understand now that salvation and the Lord have been opened up to all humanity now. It was at one time through Israel, and by the way, they're still God's chosen people, and God's not finished with them, and we praise God for that. But now he has opened up salvation and the way of salvation to all humanity now. And so that's a wonderful blessing. And so that's why he's saying for this cause, because if you back up just for a moment, look at verse 19 of chapter 2. He says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So you and I are a habitation of who? Wait, did you get that? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, your life, your person is the habitation, the dwelling place of God Almighty. Isn't that amazing? And listen, because you've been given that, you're also equipped to enjoy all the promises of God. Now, what happens is, and I want to repeat this, because the light will come on, and we'll see that we'll grow in this. Paul was saying, that's why he said, I'm pressing toward the mark. I don't run like I've attained. Would you say that Paul attained some powerful spiritual truths in his ministry and his walk on earth? Would you say he was an example of what a believer ought to be? Would you say he would be a worthy teacher to listen to? Yes, amen, because he penned a lot of the New Testament scriptures. So God obviously saw fit that he was a worthy vessel. Now, I would also tell you this, that Paul would say, and you know this, but Paul would say that everything I've ever achieved without the Lord, I've thrown in the dung heap. And that's in my past. Now, everything that has any merit, any value is of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, I want you to know that I don't press toward the mark like I've already achieved something, but I'm pressing toward the mark every day. And the reason for that is because he was experiencing the grace of God at another level. We do ourselves a disservice to think there is no more for us to experience in our salvation. Because God is infinite, and he says, I've got so much to show you, if you will just understand it. You listen, you cannot use faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if you believe there's nothing there for you. We've got to realize that what God has to offer us in our salvation is infinite. There's no end to it, and we can experience God on a greater level. And Paul was saying the same thing. I want to, every day, press toward that mark. I want to experience the life of Christ in me. And so, if you're having a difficult time, Paul would tell you, really I would tell you, because there was no cars in Paul's day, that we're pushing the car. We're outside pushing the car, and we're not enjoying the benefits of the vehicle that can take us places. Likewise also, if our salvation, if our walk with the Lord is not easy, then the effort is in the wrong place, and we're pushing the car, and we're not sitting and allowing the Lord to empower our lives. We're not doing it by his might, but we're doing it by our might. When we experience God's might in us, then we see that his yoke truly is what? Light. It's easy. It's an easy burden. And so God wants us to get that in our thinking, so that when we see the problem, we say, okay, Lord, obviously I'm misunderstanding something here, and I'm putting a lot of effort in this, and I'm not seeing you. So Lord, help me to see and to experience you. Because when God steps in and does something where it seems effortless, what do I mean by that? Let me give you a little example. So, and maybe you've experienced this, and I hope that you have. And if not, God wants us to. Sometimes an experience can arise, a situation can arise, and we handle that surprisingly not like we would normally handle it. We handle it with the grace of God, where we step away and we say, now, if I would have done that, I would have lost my cool. I would have been frustrated. I would have been upset. But you know what? Listen, we experience the grace of God when we can realize it is the Lord working that through us. And if it's just us, then we only have ourselves to thank for. And that's not what God wants to do things in our lives, so that you and I can see his working and we can praise the Lord. So let's look at this here. Look at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which has given me to you word, how that by, listen, revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So a mystery is something that's been hidden that Paul is saying, I want to reveal it now. It's time to be revealed. See, listen, in the Old Testament economy, the Spirit of God would move on people, right? Remember Samson? The Spirit of God would move on him. Even Saul, when he was prophesying with the prophets, remember that? He had the heart of another man. You remember that? And people were looking at him and saying, God is on him. Do you think the Israelites had any question as to where Samson was getting his power from? They knew that God was moving on him. Listen, let me ask you this. Even David testified to how he defeated Goliath. He said, the Lord delivered him into my hand. Could he not have said, if it was him, man, did you see how good I am with that sling? Couldn't he have said that? But you know what he knew? That was not what happened. He was giving God the glory, not because he was supposed to, but because he knew by experience what God was doing. Now, that would just happen at moments, at different times, as God saw fit to do so. But now, you and I have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, access to God 24/7 in us. So that's an important truth. And he says, I want you to know this. Listen, verse 3 again. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now he's expanding on it. Whereby when you read, ye may understand, listen, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul said that, did he not? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That God wants you and I to understand Paul's experience and knowledge concerning this mystery. Isn't that what we just read there? So God is wanting to reveal, give us a revelation that we have not had before, or if we had it, have had it, that we might have it to a greater extent. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, because the more I pursue God, the more I find the Lord. The more I seek God, the more I find the Lord. But if you don't look for him, isn't it amazing? You've heard this before said, you know, criminals can never find a police officer. Why is that? They're not looking for them. But may that never be said about the child of God seeking the Lord. If we're not finding him, it's only because we're not looking for him. Because he indwells the believer. So notice this. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Listen, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Please don't make light of the Holy Spirit, and don't allow people who have really twisted and perverted the truth of the Spirit into a lie. This idea that the Spirit of God moves on only when you experience certain things. That's not true. Speaking in tongues and this, that, and the other. That's not, you know, putting your hand in a snake den. That's not biblical. You'll never find that God says the Holy Spirit falls on you only when you speak in tongues. No, the Bible says that when you're born again, you are indwelt with the Spirit. You already have that. You and I, listen, you and I are accepted already because of the righteousness of the blood of Christ that has been applied to our account. We are always accepted in the sight of God. Isn't that amazing when you stop and think about it? And now I want you to get a picture of this. You remember the Lord told the story about the prodigal son? You remember that? Where does our attention go to? Where does our attention go to, naturally speaking? The son. Man, he's having a rough time of it. But we don't take into consideration that the father lost the son. He let him go because he wanted him to seek him of his own free will. And then he came back, and we know the story. The father saw him afar off. What does that tell you? He was looking for him to come back. And the father ran after him, ran out to him, and fell on his neck. See, listen, that's how God sees you and me. How do I know that? He gave us his son. You are accepted in the beloved. Listen, Jesus told the story. Did the prodigal son make a mess of things? But the father was right there. Don't think that you're making a mess. Remember what the prodigal son said? Oh, listen, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just make me a hired servant. He says, what are you talking about? Get the fatted calf. That's important because we need to understand how God sees us. Because sometimes we can be like the prodigal son. I am no longer worthy to be your son or your daughter. And God the Father says, what are you talking about? I see the blood of my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on you. You belong to me forever. Without exception. Without exception. Without exception. Now, the lost world says, well, my goodness, that sounds like license to sin. It's only because they don't understand the grace of God. But may we not buy into that lie and keep our distance from our heavenly, and not come home to the Father. So listen to this, verse 6. That the Gentiles, again, remember by the Spirit, you're indwelt with, and sealed with, by the way, sealed with. And when God seals something, no man gets to it, not even you, all right? So you're sealed, whether you like it or not. And I know we all like that, so that's a good thing. All right. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, by the truth. Okay? So God not only has indwelt us, not only placed us as part of the family of God and in the body, but he wants us to be partakers of his promise. He wants us to have a part. Remember what I said this morning? That the vine has branches and bears fruit through those branches. God has made himself, I don't want to say vulnerable, and he's not really dependent on us, but yet he has chosen to bear fruit through your life and mine. That's God's choice. God has chosen, listen, let this sink in. Not that we are chosen to bear fruit, but God has chosen us to bear fruit through us. We just need to believe that and say, okay, Lord, I'm presenting myself before you so that you, by your power, not mine, by your strength, will bear fruit through my life. Now we're on a different plane than thinking, okay, because I'm a Christian, this is what I'm supposed to do, and this is what I'm not supposed to do. You're going to be sweating bullets. Because that's not the way God intended to, because we don't have the strength to do that. We can keep it up for a little while and fail. We can keep it up for a little while and fail, and you're going to have the most frustrated experience you'll ever have and see little to nothing of God. God's merciful and gracious, but you're not going to have victory really to speak of. You're still his child because of the grace of God, but you're just outside pushing the car instead of sitting on the inside and enjoying the provision that God has made so that you can participate and partake in the precious promises that God has given to all of his children. There is no exemption with God. In other words, God doesn't say, I'm going to use this one, but not this one. That's not the way the Lord works in his family, in his economy. He wants all. Listen what Paul says. He says in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of my effort, my strength. What does it say? His power. His power. So would this make sense then? If it's his power, it's not ours. So whose power are you operating in to fulfill the will of God? I will tell you, 9 times out of 10, we're trying to do it. That's our nature. And we're going to fail. What we need to do is say, God, I can never do this. I'm not even going to touch it. I'm asking you, Lord, to do this in through me. And watch what God will do, and he will give you a reason to worship him. Tonight, tomorrow, and as often as you call upon him to fulfill his will in your life. He wants you to worship him throughout the whole day. He wants you to have such a tight communion, such a tight walk with him that you never part from him. And that you start walking and glowing like Moses did. Not really literally, right? But that you start, you have this smile on, you have this relationship with the Lord that the world looks on and says, they are peculiar. And I've watched them long enough. Whatever's happening in their life has got to be real to them, because nobody could keep that up in their own strength. So there's some kind of strength. Something's happening in their life. They could see it. That's what's going to flip the world upside down, and that's what's going to empower the church. Not just us figuring out what we need to be doing and coming up with all these ideas, but the power of God in the life of his people. And that's what God wants to do. We're seeing that right here. That will wow and awe our lives. And we'll worship the Lord. And we'll have lots of occasions to praise and thank God for all that he's doing. All right. So verse 7 says it's the effectual working. Paul is saying that the effectual working of his power. Verse 8, listen, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Listen. You think Paul was saying, okay, now let me impress you by saying I am the least of all saints. You think Paul was saying that to impress us? Or do you think Paul really believed he was the least and he was persecuting the church? He was saying, I have no right. And look what God has done to me and for me. You know why he said that? Lest we think too little of ourselves and not see us as God sees us. Not that we should think a whole lot of ourselves, but that we should think a whole lot about what God has given to us in salvation, that we might walk in his power and not our own. Okay. So ready? Verse 8 again. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles. Listen to this. The unsearchable riches of Christ. That means there's no end to them. That's why Paul kept pressing. And when we taste and when we see, we'll get excited too. That's what God wants. Excitement of a reality, not just a fabricated, made-up excitement, but an experience with God that gets us on fire. Oh, Lord, let it start with me. We're waiting for it to happen somewhere. I like what Brother Tom said. Remember Brother Tom Smith? I hope so. He was just here last week, right? Was it last week? Week before last? Somebody go get the door. And the Holy Spirit is knocking on our door. Somebody else get the door. Right? Well, when we see the preacher get on fire for God, somebody get the door. Let the preacher get the door. Let the Sunday school teacher get the door. Let some other church get the door. When God is saying, I'm knocking on yours, won't you open up and let me in? Verse 9, and to make all men see, not most men, not some men, that's mankind. I know that's not a popular term, but it's a biblical term, and it's right. Mankind, man came, woman came out of man, all of it together. God says to make mankind see. Listen to this. These are saved people, are they not? So he's telling this because they don't know this. Listen, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that not tomorrow, but now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by who? The church. Who's the church? Look in the mirror. You're the church. Did you hear what God said? To be made known to you and I, that we might know. This is beyond salvation. Or why did God write this to people that are already saved? We understand that already. What he's saying is, listen, Peter had a hard time understanding that. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And then he got his eyes off the Lord and sank. Thou art the Son of God. And the next breath he's saying, you can't go to the cross, Lord. And the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but of men. Peter, who walked with the Lord. So if Peter can do it, do you think we might have done it a time or two? I'd say yes. We've done it. In fact, some people are miserable and have given up on their Christian walk because they fail. And the only reason why they fail is because they're pushing the car instead of riding in it. They're trying to do it in their own strength, and we're misunderstood. And by the way, listen, ask God, Lord, help me to understand what it means to abide in you and you and me, and because without you I can't do anything, but with you I can do what? All things. That's not my word. It's not my promise. It's God's to his people. If we'll receive it. It's a relief. It really is. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Who would have thought? Right? Who would have thought? Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does the Lord want a peculiar people to his honor and glory, a royal priesthood? Does the Lord know our weakness? That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. He never expected us to do it in our strength. He knows we have no strength. You know where the problem is? We don't know we're weak. We are too dependent on our strength. And we'll miss the strength of God every time. Proof is in the failure. But in the failure is a lesson to be learned about the grace of God and about our weakness. Lord, I've got it wrong. Because I've got nothing to give you except for what you've given me. And you have given me the Spirit. So, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you as a saved child of God to work that out in my life. Now you've just stepped into the arena of God's realm to call upon him to do something for you. And you got to stop trying to do it yourself. That's really will be a relief. Really will. It'll be liberating. And then it'll be an opportunity to go, wow, what a Savior. What a Savior. All right, ready? Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Do you have that kind of confidence? Maybe you've not asked him. Maybe you're still trying to do it in your own strength. Listen, Paul, the least of all the saints, he says, we have boldness. Did he say we? He said we. Who is the we? The church. That's you and I today. Did the Lord know that this word would come into our hands? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, not us. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And by the way, did Paul suffer tribulation? How in the world did he keep going? You tell me, how did he keep going? Whose power did he keep going in? Certainly not his. He'd have given up and been a basket case. Listen, you want to know how to become a basket case in Jesus? Look to yourself. If you're a basket case in Jesus, and I've been there and can be there again, I'm looking to myself. I will woe is me because my eyes are on me and not the Lord, and on my strength and not his. God does not want us to be a basket case. He wants us to glory in him. But the only way that we can do that is for him to work in and through us. Ready? Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you say that's worship? He's praising God in the midst of tribulation for them. Verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's us. That's us. Isn't that good? Verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of your glory, your power. No. According to the riches of his glory, listen to this, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Is that what we're relying on, or are we out there pushing the car and trying to do this because, bless God, I love the Lord. Bless God, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not enjoying it, but bless God, I better do it because Jesus loves me. That's a miserable existence and not intended in the heart and mind of God. When he says, come and dine, he's not asking you to bring anything. He's saying, all things have been made ready. I've prepared it all. Don't you like that? God says, I'm rolling out the red carpet for you. You are a child of the King. Isn't that something? That's amazing to me. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How will God dwell in your hearts by faith? He needs to bless you and wants to bless you and awe you. And then Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love. Whose love? God's love. This is what he wants for us. May be able to comprehend with all saints, that's us, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you're failing, I promise you, you are not filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, with the influence and power of the Holy Spirit, you're indwelt with the Spirit, but you're relying on the wrong power source. And so that's when we need to stop and say, okay, Lord, if it's not working, it's because it's in my power and my strength. And we have to stop and say, okay, God, you need to do this for me. I'm presenting myself, that living sacrifice, so that you can have your way in my life. And now you put it in God's court. And now God is saying, okay, now you're coming to me. That's a brilliant move. Because now I can bless you. Because you've come to the end of yourself. See, God's not wanting to strengthen us. Well, look at me. That's our nature. I know we don't like to say, but that's really our nature. Huh? I can impress you. No, I can't. I can think I can impress you. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. I need Him. If there's anything of any praise, glory be to God. And we need to come to the end of ourselves and say, man, listen, even our righteousness are as filthy rags. Still, we need to let go of those things that we might have the righteousness of Christ that's already been given to us as a child of God. All right, look quickly and we'll finish up. Let's look at verse 18 again. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now listen to this. Let this sink in this context. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I didn't say that. God did. Because here's what we think. Tell me this is not what we think. This is what God's asking me to do, and this is what we think. I can't do that. Isn't that what we think? I can't do that. Well, that's the truth. But God's not wanting us to think that. God's wanting us to look to Him who can do all these things for us. Our eyes are on the wrong place and nothing will ever get accomplished because we're looking at a very, very finite, powerless individual. We did not speak everything into existence, but we are indwelt by the One who did. So again, verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, right? Exceedingly. That's like when something's exceeded, it's limits, it's overflowing, right? We talked about that today. Overflowing, abundantly, above all. Listen, this is what God wants to do. Above all that we ask or think. Let that sink in. That's what God's wanting to do in our lives. Above what we're asking or what we even think. Here's what we think. Okay, now if God, listen, now, if God, here's how we think. Let's think this way, because this is how we think. So I believe what Brother George is saying, what Brother George is preaching from the Word of God. So I think God can help me. I think God can empower me. Do you believe this? To overcome the sins that easily beset us. Do you believe that? God can even do above that thinking, because that's our thinking still. God can still do, isn't that good? Exceedingly abundantly above even what we think. So we think, yes, God can do that, and God can even exceed that, what we think. On the positive, the negative we heard, but even on the positive, so let's look at this quickly. Exceedingly abundantly, verse 20, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And then he says, lastly, unto Him be glory in the church. That's God's will. That's you, right? That's us. We're the church. How? By Christ Jesus, I love this, throughout all ages, world without end. Does that mean in our day and age? Does that mean if the Lord doesn't return in our lifetime, does that mean for the next generation and all generations? Partakers of His promise. That's God's invitation to all of us tonight. Partakers of His promise. If we'll have it. Would you stand as we prepare for invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, thanking you, Lord, for what you have given to us, what you have provided for us. Help us, Lord, to partake in that, not to look to ourselves, but to look in what you have provided for us to partake in your promises. Bless, Lord, your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.